Okay, and we're back. We've been having some fun and games with the audio. Andy's on the roof shouting as loud as he can, but
Yep.
not many of you could hear that either. So we do apologize. This is a packed afternoon and lots of Mango stuff. If you want to find the lowdown on the new things that Windows Phone Mango 7.5 will do for you, this is the place to come. These are three key sessions and two big ones in the morning tomorrow that Andy will be running. So pin your ears back. To use a technical term, and let's just dive straight in. Yep, here we are. Two more after this one, which are also well worth taking part in. Execution model, application state management, fast application switching, dormant programs and tombstoning, and application navigation and switching. We're going to cover this at a fair old rate. There are loads of demos, and we'll make sure you get the gist of this. One of the things that we can't shy away from is the fact that if you want to make your applications work in marketplace context, you have to get this right. Now, we've got some sample programs you can take away and just put your code into, and we're making those available. So don't just hold the faith. It's just, this is one of the bits where real life gets in the way of a wonderful experience. You just have to deal with that. We have got multitasking in the phone because that's how the phone works. You can listen to music, read your email, and download applications from Marketplace all at the same time. But it's not exposed to people that write apps. Although you can nowadays write background apps, which is one of the things we're going to cover. All good stuff. And so the thing behind Windows Phone, the thing that makes all this fly, is the fact that the user is king. The user must be serviced as quickly as possible at all times. We want to have a good battery life and great performance on the foreground, and that basically means background tasks have to be very carefully managed, so at no point does the user suffer because of the fact the background task has flattened the battery or stolen all the processor power.
Yeah, so Windows Phone 7.0, your app, well, a third-party app, only one would run at any one time, and once you switched over to a different app, your app was killed, and it was a. There's a lot of stuff you have to do to maintain the state and make sure that your users get this illusion that your app is just sitting there in the background. In Mango, it's a lot better. It's a lot better story.
Yep.
We have got background tasks, but they are constrained because, as Rob says, user experience is the most important deliverable with Windows Phone.
Yeah, nothing else matters. And now we're going to cover how the task management works in this session, and the next session, it's how we make a background task that does things when your program isn't in control. So that's where we're going with this. Before we do that, one of the things I want to actually make clear in people's minds is how the user interface in Windows Phone work. Now, Andy's talked about the back button and how that navigates you from one page to another. The next thing to talk about is how that's used in the context of application switching. There are two buttons on the phone that are very important in this context: back and start. Start always opens up the start menu. So you start a brand new program, you press start. List of programs appears, you pick the one you want to run, and then you run that program. That's how Phone works, that's how Phone is, that's how the user will like it. The back button can take you from particular pages in an application, but it also can be used to take you out of one app and back into the previous app that you were running. And the system tracks active applications and maintains this back stack. So not just inside your application where you move from one page to another, but inside your application stack where you're moving from one program to the next. Users don't have to think about this, and the beauty of it is it works without them having to think about it.
So just to add a little bit of detail to that. So we were talking before about if you're on the home page of the application, the main page, if you back out of that, the app exits. That's the exit point for the app. And of course, at that point, the user will go back in the back history on the phone, so end up back in the app they were in previously. There's some interesting variants on this theme when we get to talking about tiles and deep toast, which I'm looking
Yeah.
forward to,
Ooh,
which
deep
is all
toast.
tomorrow.
I want to find out about deep toast. This
Yeah.
all sounds great fun. I'll give you a very, very quick demo, which will just give you an idea if you haven't seen it working on the Mango platform before. If I just have my emulator here sitting on the screen, at the moment it's running not a lot of programs at the start menu. If I press Internet Explorer, then I go up and I can now actually start to browse the internet. And so I can do that. If I press the start button again, This takes me back to the start menu to start another program. I can then go on, find one of my programs. Let's have a go at adding machine. And we have two because I've actually run two different versions. If I press back out of here, I go back to the start menu. If I press back again, I go back to the browser. If I press back again, that's coming out of the browser and going back to the start menu. So you have this idea of moving up and down the stack. And if I can do that again, we can find our way into more and more parts of the phone as we work our way through, go into settings. Now, the thing that's new in Mango, this is how Windows Phone 7 worked. 7.5 Mango has an extra feature called the long press of the back button. If I hold down the back button, I now got a new menu which I can use to switch between currently active applications. You can have up to five of these, and so I can instantly move from one app to the next using the back button to open up this navigation pane and slide between them. Now, the applications you see on the screen in this situation may well still be in memory, so the application switching process is really, really quick. Clues in the name, fast application switching. So we have this technique where you press start and you get a new place to work. You press back and you back out of that to wherever you were before. So you're browsing, you want to find a contact, you look it up, you come back out of the contact lookup, you're back into browsing again. It's much harder to explain than it is to use. And to my mind, that's precisely the right way around. If it was easy to explain, it would be really hard to use. And so we have to make programs that behave in a sensible way in this context. And that's what we're all about this afternoon. That's what we're doing now. And so you've seen that running. And there's a lovely picture there of my right index finger on my orange phone, which you can treasure if you wish, but I wouldn't stick it on the wall because that might mark you as a bit strange. So we've done that. We're now moving on. Seeing how it works, we have this idea of a back stack that you go up and down to actually do things. And what I'm going to talk about today is precisely how you manage what happens when the user runs your application for a while and then wants to go off and do something else, and how your application behaves in that context. In the old days, that's Windows Phone 7, we had tombstoned. And tombstone basically meant we have pretty much removed you from memory, or we've taken you out in a way that means that when you come back, there's a very good chance you'll have to be reconstituted. In 7.5 Mango, we have a state called dormant, which is where you're still in memory with all your objects and your data intact. And if the phone runs short of memory, the first thing it'll do is take any dormant applications and tombstone them and kill them off properly. Okay, that's how it works. As far as we're concerned, the bottom line is our application is going to get told stuff. And when it gets told stuff, it has to do things. And it'll get told stuff when it's made dormant, when it's woken up, and when it's started from cold. And we have to manage the state of our application so that the user doesn't notice these things have happened. The user comes back and the data they thought would be there is there. It's not hard to do, and I'll show you how to do it. It's just you have to do this because otherwise you won't pass the certification for Marketplace. So it's something you have to do. Here's a nice diagram, which...
carry on. I had a comment, but I'll bring it in later.
It wasn't my hair, was it? Is the join showing?
No, you're looking lovely.
Looking lovely, thank you. Yeah. So I was concerned there for a minute, a ghastly frisson. Fast in action. This is basically going to show you the states, and I can talk you through this. At the moment... The user presses, so what's happened now is I've pressed the tile that starts the application. So my application is starting up, okay? I get a launching event to say, hey, you're coming in to memory. If you think about this as a play on a stage, okay? At this point, we've gone to the actor's dressing room, we've fetched him, we've dragged him onto the stage, and we said, okay, it's your turn to perform now. And so he's got a launching event, and he's been told, you're on the stage now, do your thing. And the application will start running, and the actor will start performing his scene. And so we're running, the user's pressing buttons, everything in the land is lovely, they're having a great time. And then they decide they want to take a picture, or run another application, or whatever. And at that point, I digress, let's do closing first. When they back out of the top level, they're closing the app. This is the point at which, say, the play ends, and the actor just goes straight back to his dressing room, and that's it. End of play. So if they press back, you go and get an unnavigated from to say we're leaving the page, and application closing, and the program shutting down. So we come in on the launching event and we go out on the closing event. This is a simple way to run the program. But if the user does something that changes your application and they want to run something else by pressing the start button, we get this deactivated event, which basically means, as far as the actor's concerned, he's now standing in the wings waiting to be called back onto stage. Okay, the king has said, I don't like this play, go and wait over there, I want to see a different one. So the actor's stood in the wings now waiting to come back onto stage. Okay, as far as we're concerned, our app is doing just the same. It's sitting in memory, in the wings, waiting for that call to come straight back on and continue from where it left off. So we drop into this dormant state where we're sitting in memory, nothing is happening, all our threads are stopped, we've got no responses for any of our requests outstanding, but we're just sat there. We're kind of frozen, or indeed dormant, I guess, would be a good name. Now, at some later point, we might get resumed. That's as if the king says, bring back that first guy, I quite like him. And so we get pulled out of the wings and stood back in the stage again, okay? And so we get an unnavigated to, and we also get an activated event that says, hey, wake up, princess, it's time to do your thing. And then having been woken up from the dormant state, we go back to running. Tombstoning is if the king gets really upset and gets the actor dragged away from the wings and shoved back in the dressing room. Tombstoning is if a dormant app which has been paused is taken out of memory.
And this was the normal behaviour in 7.0.
So. Yeah, the dormant is the new thing they've added. Applications get tombstoned when the phone runs out of memory. If the user keeps on starting new applications and does 5 or 10 of these, the phone memory is finite, something has to give, and so dormant applications will be effectively pushed back and sent back to their dressing rooms.
And it's fair to say that actually different Windows phones might have different hardware specs, one might have more memory than another one. It may be, you know, on a lower spec phone, this may be more likely to happen than on something that's got a load of application memory.
The Windows Phone platform has a standard memory size which you can't have less than. There's no upper limit, so you're quite right. A bigger feature phone may have 200 megs more memory or something, and able to store more stuff in. But the idea here is that our program has to keep this going, and when we get resumed, we have to actually put the play back into the state it was when the user last saw it. We have to actually reconstitute our data and then we can go back into running. When we resume, this is a bit that you have to be aware of. There's two ways in which I can be resumed. I can be pulled out of the wings or I can be pulled out of the dressing room. And at the time I come back on the stage, I don't know which of those two it is. So I have to look at my, as Andy says, the dormant state was added, which means that when I wake up, I have to go, have I woken up from being in memory, which is good news because that means all my objects are still intact, or have I woken up from being tombstoned, in which case I have to reload all my data and rebuild all my bits and bobs. Okay, that's the code that does the testing. This is the application activated event. That's the one that fires when you get woken up. And you can take a look at e.isApplicationInstancePreserved. If that's true, you're still in memory. If that's false, you have to go back to your isolated storage, fetch your data, bring it back and use it. Okay, this is how it works, and it all hangs together fairly well. Let's bring on Captain's Log. Okay, Captain's Log is a simple Silverlight app that could be used by, say, a starship captain to track all the yellow-skinned women that he's met and summarily dealt with.
Do you think there's a big market for this app, Rob?
Oh, there is in our house. But the thing about this is Captain's Log has two pages, a page where the captain can type in anything that's interesting, and a log entries page that gives him a list of all the recently entered events. And I type something in, press the store button, and it gets time-stamped and shoved into the log file. And so you can see the two strings there. Now, as far as the user's concerned, as far as the captain's concerned, he wants to make sure that when he comes back to the app from having done something else, it looks right. The information is preserved in a way that actually is useful to him. So that's what we're going to do. The data, as far as Captain's Log is concerned, there's two data items I'm worried about. There's the text of the log, which is the big file, everything the captain's done, and there's the text in the actual screen that he's typing in. because when the captain comes back to the application, he wants to be able to pick up typing a half-completed entry and continue it. Okay? So those are the two things, and these strings live in app.xaml.cs. As we said this morning, a good place to store data your application needs to make available to all the pages. And there's just two big strings, and I've got code that saves and loads those as required. When I arrive at the page, we effectively take the log text box and we set it equal to the log string. Now, this is not data binding. This is the other way to do it. This is just simple, good-hearted. You could use data binding, it's just that only Andy knows how data binding works. He's the only man. So I'm doing it very, very simply. So when we arrive on the log page, this is the code that fires to make the log appear in front of the user's eyes. And it is as simple as that. Storing it, well, when we move away from the page actually takes the text out of the text box and puts it in the application. So when I move off any of my pages, it's all stored for me automatically. And I'm using these two events. When you arrive on the page, the to event fires, and when you leave the page, the from event fires. Okay, so this is how the captain's log actually works. I can show you version 1 of the captain's log, and this is the one that doesn't actually store any data. And so let's go and dig up version 1 of the captain's log and take a look at that. Here we go. So I go into my Jumpstart folder, and I go into... And again, all this code is coming your way, it all works rather splendidly. Most of the time with the following wind. Andy said to me at lunchtime, and I hate him for this, he said, "You know, Rob," he said, "all our demos have worked," he said. You see?
Which anybody who's watched this before will realise is worthy of comments.
Let's just do a rebuild of that. Rebuild solution. Why on earth would you fail? Why on earth would you fail? Okay, so let's do that again. And this captain's log mostly works, and I'll show you how it works, but I'll also show you how it fails. Okay, so if I add some text, so I can go in here and I can type in Klingons on, oh dear, on the starboard bow, whatever. Click store, it goes into the log file. I then type some more, bum, 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 bum. Click store, that's actually Klingon for, you're standing on my foot. Click on view log, and you can see the log entry file is being built up. And that's all fine and dandy. When I close the application, then if we have a look in the code, then when we look at the closing method, if I can just find it a minute, nothing in there, nothing happening, nothing being stored. So if I stop this program and then run it again, one interesting thing about Windows Phone is that the emulator actually picks up all the programs that you put into it, and this one's been quite busy. So if I fire up Captain's Log here, it will now run from within the emulator, but the log is empty. Ah. So this particular version doesn't work very well. It isn't storing anything. It runs, but it doesn't actually store anything. It'll keep in memory as long as the application is running, but that's no good for us. We want a captain's log we could be proud of, and this ain't it. So we'll go back, and we'll look at how you go about actually fixing that problem. And so I'm going to go back into here and find the presentation, which is the bit I have the most trouble with. Here we go. And so, no storage, boo, that's not good to me. I want something much more interesting. So, what we can do is we can bind to the events that tell us when our program's leaving. And so, the data will automatically get stored into the background memory and then brought back again when the application starts. This will make us a well-behaved captain's log. Now, at this point, I have to tell you about the two flavours of storage. And these aren't vanilla and chocolate, because that would be just too nice. There's isolated storage, which is the big memory store on the phone. If you buy a machine with 8 gigabytes of internal memory, that means you have got 8 gigabytes of isolated storage. You can put stuff in there as much as you like. It's called isolated because one application can't see any other data than its own. Okay? So our captain's log can put stuff in there, and we could have 7 or 8 gigabytes of captain's log, should we wish to do that. Okay. State storage is a piece of memory where a program waiting in the wings can put things so that when it comes back, it can get going real quick. And this is called state storage. And it's good for holding name value pairs and quick stuff like the contents of pages. So you have a page that contains a half-written entry in Captain's Log. That goes in state storage because you can bring it back real fast and you don't particularly want to store it. So those are the two flavours of using. I'm going to use just the isolated because it's simpler for the purposes of this demo. So when we want to save the Captain's Log, we just basically put two things in there, a thing called log text, which is the text what he's typed in, with the name log and the entry with the name entry. And it is as simple as I've got these two methods that I wrote. And again, you have the source for all this code. It's all there for you to take a look at. And so this is how we store the captain's stuff. Right. And we now have to drop the code into the methods that are fired when we start up and when we shut down. Four of these: launching, when you're being started; closing, when you're being backed out of forever, your application is being terminated; deactivated is when I've been kicked into the wings off the stage; and activated, when I've been dragged back from the wings and made to perform again, having not been actually stopped. I've been tombstoned or dormanted, depending on flavour. These things live in the app.xaml.cs file, and I've just shown them, a very brief look at them there. So now I have to go and fill them in. This is how they look when you have a brand new, empty, shiny application, and then the name of the game is just go in there and populate them. It is as simple as that. So, here we go. On closing, I call the save to isolated storage, and on opening, on launching, I load it back. Now, there's a big comment on here which says, please don't spend too much time in the launching method. You're not supposed to do this. I'm being a little bit naughty here. And he's tutting.
I am, yes. And I've got a session tomorrow morning on isolated storage, which talks a little bit about the implications of spending too long on this, but we'll let you go because it's the message that's important here. But
the launching event has to complete before the user sees anything on the screen, right? So if you spend 15 seconds in there, the user will have a 15 second delay, which they won't see because your app will get killed about 5 seconds into that because it's taken time to start. So this thing is a stopper. What this thing should do is fire off a thread to start the loading process. But for the purposes of what I'm doing, I'm going to actually just make it load my two strings from storage, and Andy will approve because, as he says, the message is the important thing here.
Yep.
And so here we go. Here's Captain's Log version 2. Now, this is the big, if there is a big demo in all my presentations today, it's this one. Okay, if this one that's, I don't know, there's a worse one actually tomorrow. Sorry, later on. So let's not dwell on that, Rob. Let's dwell on positive things. Let's got Captain's Log going. Now, this guy is going to do the storing for me. And this is where it starts to get kind of interesting. Why am I saying kind of interesting? Very interesting. Okay. If I take a look in app.xaml.cs, which is where all the interesting things are, and I make it nice and big so we can all see it, then if you look down here at the activated and deactivated, not bothering with those, closing, we do the save thing. Launching, we do the load thing. And again, I've got all the code for this for you to run. So now I'm going to run it up. And I'm going to ask Andy some questions.
Listening, Rob, actually. I'm concentrating on questions.
He's being
myself.
Too helpful. Yeah. Right, so we've got our add entry.
Go on then, yes.
And
I'm with you.
With me, okay. Yeah. Now I can type stuff in. Hello, world. And I can save it in the log, okay? So I can store that and view the log, and it's got hello world in. Are you happy with this?
Yep.
It's like doing a magic trick, this. Okay.
Yep.
If I stop the program, if I back it out like that, okay, my program is now stopped. If I restart it, bearing in mind I'm saving and loading properly, will the data be there?
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you. And so if I start it, it seems to be. Why have I got. Okay, I'm rerunning it again. So if we now have a look in the log, there's hello world. Okay, so we're perfectly happy with this. Okay.
Yep.
Now, this is where it gets a bit confusing. Because at the moment, there's nothing in this program that handles tombstoning at all.
Right.
All right? So the user says, I'm going to tombstone this. I'm going to have a quick browse. And so my program has now been moved out of memory. It's waiting in the wings. Well, it's moved out of execution. It's waiting in the wings. And if the user comes back to it, will they see the data there or not? Bearing in mind, I'm not saving it when the program stops.
Well, Actually, you will at the moment.
Oh, he's right.
Because it's being dormanted.
It's
and
been
not
dormanted
tombstone.
And not. So if I press
we've
back
actually
now,
got, we've actually got a question waiting that says, how do you test tombstoning as opposed to being dormanted, which is a new verb I've just.
This is where. Yep. Watch and learn.
Indeed.
I love questions like that because basically it's like having a script written for me. Okay. At the moment it's been dormanted and we'd really like it to be tombstoned. So what we do, and it's lovely this, thank you very much, whoever you are, great question. If I go into the project and I go into Captain's Log Properties and I go onto the Debug tab, we have a little tick box that says tombstone upon deactivation when debugging. So I can basically say when we're debugging, don't dormantize, tombstonify, okay, which is a technical technical term.
English language is getting mangled in this one, isn't
tombstone,
it?
Tombstone is not a verb,
no,
but apparently
tombstone.
It is. Yep. So we'll move on. So if I start this program up now, it'll bring in Hello World, because Hello World is stored nicely. If I fly out to, it's add some more. And store it. So now it's actually being held in the application. And if I go there, I've got my little. If I now go back here, and I hit the application switch, and when I come back now, then
so now it has been tombstoned.
Now it's been tombstoned, and because I didn't save it when I was tombstoned, my log entry is empty because I haven't loaded it when I was activated either. Right. So this application. And this is where it gets confusing, because you can think, oh, it's working fine, because everything seems to be as it was when I was shut down. And the only way you can do a proper test is to make sure that you tick that box and tombstone it,
yep.
And that's how you really do get kicked out of memory.
And I'm afraid you do have to handle this. This is one of the criteria they'll test your app on when you submit it for Marketplace. So you've got to handle tombstoning properly.
Yep. There's no escaping the grave. There's no escaping the.
Are you doing anything about, like, saving the page state and this sort of stuff? Okay, good.
Might well be, yes. But I was just thinking about how good You Can't Escape the Grave was as a line. okay,
Children of the Grave.
Absolutely. That's that's more of that tomorrow. So we have this situation where we can simulate the events, we can write code that responds to these events, and what I'll do now very quickly, because I've got to be fairly tight on time with this, is make sure that we show you the rest of the slides and then move on to the finished one. So again, it is just a question really of filling in the correct application methods to get the behaviours you want. So that one does kind of work, but what I have to do is go in and add some code to do the saving on deactivation. So when you deactivate, I save to isolated storage, and I'll also put it in the state object as well. Because when I come back, when I'm reactivated, I can say, okay, do I have to go to get my saved state to reconstitute myself? And if the answer is yes, the very important thing on here, look for the exclamation mark. If not, application state preserved. If I'm coming back from being tombstoned, then I'll load the content in the of the thing from the state object, which is in memory and should be nice and quick.
I've just had an interesting. So I guess the deactivated will effectively will be run when the system is tombstoning your app, so it won't actually be visible at that point.
The big problem that you have to deal with, which is actually quite painful, is that when you are deactivated, you don't know in the long term whether you're going to get killed or just made dormant.
Oh, sorry, yes. So deactivated is when you're going into dormant.
You never get a message to say, I am now tombstoning you. And so if we could take a look at the fully working captain's log at this point, and that will show all this behaviour working correctly. So if I now go into the final big, hairy, scary demo, this is the point at which, we all have to... Actually, the big, scary demo is just after the break. That's going to be... Whoa! I'll leave the tick box tick because this is maximum... Well, no, I'll use the right project, Rob, otherwise it'll be very confusing. Complete captain's log. If you want a template for how to make applications work properly with tombstoning, use this. Just pick this code up, drop your code in the right place. Let's give it a proper stress test. Let's set that thing up there. We take a look in mainpage.xaml, then that won't tell us the thing, so we'll have a look in app.xaml instead. make it nice and big so we can all see it. And then here we've got a launching where we do the load, and activated where we say, hey, are we coming back from dormant? Because if we are, we do nothing.
Yeah, it's already in memory.
Because it's already there.
Yep, there's nothing to do.
But if we're being tombstone, we have to do all our reconstituting from...
Pull it out from isolated storage, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And then down here, if I'm being deactivated, I'll save everywhere because I might as well.
Make one observation on that. Quite often you'll see that actually empty in there because a lot of apps like to save their data as they're going along, you know, as the user's interacting with it. So, but essentially it's the same state. You've got to guarantee when this event fires that your application state has been persisted. Whether you've been doing it as you go along or whether you do it in here is a design decision.
There's a big, important, scary point to make here, folks, which is that when you build your app, decide how you're going to do this. Don't think, right, I've finished the app, now I'll whack on the tombstone encode. Because if you do that, that way lies madness, and I've been there, and it's horrible. It works in games as well. Do I save at a level? Do I have checkpoints? How does it work? Think about that. Build a policy and then implement it. Don't have a working program like I did and then go, okay, how do I handle tombstoning? Because the answer is badly. Okay? So what you do is you now you know how it works, you wrap your design around that and get a gameplay or application experience that works for the user. If they don't care about losing stuff, don't bother.
Yep.
Just make sure that it behaves in a clean way.
But I'd also make the point in all of this that I've seen a few people learning about fast application switching and saying, oh, that's really cool, so I don't really have to worry about tombstoning anymore because you know, most of the time it's just going to get it out of memory and it'll have a really fast resume.
If only that were true,
but yeah. Now, sadly, tombstoning is something, as I said, for the submission process, if nothing else, and for the user experience, you have to implement this.
Absolutely. There's no escaping. So now I have got a tombstoning behavior that works, so I can whack in some text here. And I can store that, and then I can view the log, and it's good. And then I can actually tombstone out, and I can come back, and we resume. Anybody knows anything special about that? Well, when we came back from being tombstoned, not only was the data intact, but we came back to the correct page. The system is smart enough to remember the page you left, and so when you get woken up, you get effectively directed back to the page the user left. So one of the nice things about this is that your application doesn't have to keep track of the page. It will have to keep track of what's on the page, though, because all that happens as far as the log entries page is concerned is it gets the onNavigated to message, which it then has to use to populate its controls. So you don't have to worry about remembering where in the application the user got to when he was tombstoned. The system does that for you. But you will have to have an onNavigated to behavior that puts the text in. And that's what's happened on there.
And also, if you've got a more complex page, you know, actually, and in 7.0, this was more of a big deal than probably it is now. Because if you've got multiple fields on it, and at the point that the user quit out of your page, they happen to have focus set on a field way down the page. Now, if you were going to be a really, really good citizen as a developer, you could actually, on the onNavigated to from, you could save the ID of the currently focused, you record what the focused control was, and then on the reconstituting code, the onNavigated to coming back from, you would actually set focus on the same screen. Now, this was more important in 7.0 because tombstoning was how it worked. Whenever a user navigated away from your app, you were tombstoned. So there was more likely that the user was going to come back to your app within a short period. They might actually remember what they were in the middle of doing.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you know, fast application switching will put you straight back and do that for you without you having to write any code. And if it's gone down in the stack and has actually been tombstoned, but then they kind of unwind the back history stack and finally your app pops out of the top of the pile again.
They probably
can't remember what field they were on at the time, to be honest. So I'm not so sure that effort is worth putting in anymore. But
this effort you should do.
Well, this one certainly makes sure that this page is populated with the right data and everything's sort of work in progress, if you like.
So good news is you get taken back to the right page. Bad news is you then have to put later on. But that's the place at which you should do it. Don't start putting data back on pages in the loaded or activated methods, because actually you won't have any pages to put things in some situations, so be very, very careful about that.
Actually, a better example of that one is the if you've got a very long list box, you know, and the user was scrolled down the list, incredibly annoying for a user
to
when they come back to reactivate the app, you suddenly find yourself at the top of the list again. So actually saving the scroll position of a list box is a good thing to do. And that probably you should still do, because they might well remember that rather than which particular input field they were focused on.
Okay, but that's effectively a well-behaved captain's log, and I've just pressed the wrong button because it's one of the things which I don't do with aplomb. Let's go back here and go back to the desktop. Now go back to the
deck. The slides.
Come on, Christmas. And then I'm going to go back in here. There has to be a better way of doing it than this. We need fast application switching for live meeting.
We do,
absolutely. So there you have it, or there you have a thing. Like it says, as Andy was saying, the Windows phone system keeps track of where you are in the form, so you can take it back. But we have to make sure that form makes sense when the user arrives on it, otherwise it'll just be an empty form, which won't go down particularly well. And actually, we've already shown this. I've already shown you the form navigation, so I'll take a rain check on that one. It's the same code, and we just found that we came back to the same place and everything was how we thought it would be. And just to round it off, to make sure everybody knows how it all fits together, this is the place where you tick the box to tell it, oh, tombstone me, when you stop me. Okay, tick that box, and then when you're debugging in the emulator, when you get swapped out, you'll get kicked out of memory as well.
Yeah, because the default behavior of the emulator is just the same as a phone. It will fast application switch you unless you tick this box.
Yeah. And if you have any problems holding this in your head, think about actors on stages and wings, and that kind of sort of mostly sort of mainly works. So, quick review. We only have one application in front of the user at any given time. Start and the back buttons allow the user to start new applications and move back to previously executing ones, and use this long press to get a list of them they can go to. If we get kicked off the stage, we either get put waiting in the wings, that's dormant, or sent right back to the dressing room, that's tombstone. Okay? We have methods that are fired in the appropriate context that we have to put code in to deal with that. And the only real nasty you have to be aware of is that when you get woken up, when you get kissed by the prince woken up from being dormant or tombstone, you have to go and check to see whether you have to rebuild your data or not. That is basically how it works. It's a good, strong context. Everything kind of makes sense. You will have to deal with it. Next, we're going to look at some using resources and things, and that's the point at which, again, we'll be touching on some fast switching. But that is effectively how it works. That's pretty much it for this section. We'll be back in about 10 of your Earth minutes, which will be that'll put us on top of the hour, I think, won't it?
Pretty much. Will, yes.
And then we'll be going on with whatever comes next. Tell me what's next, please.
It's background tasks.
Which is a lovely follow-on from this. It's all the same stuff. Thank you.
Yep.